Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
And that beautiful song comes out from Gcina and Friends. It's called Liho Dimong and comes out from an album that is called Crest Pineng. Hope that you did enjoy that particular song as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. It is now our second and final hour of the show right here on Business Sense. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome to the family. We really appreciate it. We do this thing every Monday to Thursday between 6 and 8 p.m. And of course, you can then talk to us through our WhatsApp number, which is 0734703520. Those of you listening to us outside of South Africa, it is +27734703520. Twitter handle, if you do have a question for the pastor, of course, you can send us your tweets on @AWRSID_media. I'll repeat that for you, @AWRSID_media. And of course, while you are there, you can follow us. Yeah, you can follow us on that particular handle. We really, really appreciate it. Every Thursday, as you know, right here on the show, we ease you into your Sabbath by just talking about some of the shapeshifters, some of the people that, of course, in academia, religion, business, and the likes that we bring, who are doing really, really great work in their respective spaces. Of course, this feature is basically for us to learn, right? And I think particularly young people who might also be looking up to our shapeshifters, these conversations are very, very important for that particular purpose. And you are more than welcome to join us, 0734703520. I have the pleasure this evening, and of course it's been a little bit difficult to pin him down, of course, with the session that was happening, and I suspect that is why. But it is always a great pleasure to talk to him. He's my friend, I must say. Yeah, a bit of a jealous moment there. But good evening, Murut.
Hey, good evening to you, Tapelo, and good evening to the listeners at home. I hope everybody's well.
We're doing well, thanks. And yourself?
No, everything's well. It's fine. The family's also fine.
Fantastic.
And I hope everything's well on your side as well.
No, I'm good. I'm good, Muruti. Thank you so much. I know you've got an appointment at the bottom of this hour, so I won't waste much time. So we'll get into that conversation. I must say that I did get a lot of inboxes on my Facebook, people, for this particular conversation. And I said to myself, you know what? Before we actually get into the core of our crux and the discussion that we're having today about the next term that you're going to have in the stewardship department, let's take a few steps back, Murut. I think because some people might not know, where did it start? Where were you born?
I'm from Pretoria, the township of Mamelodi.
Okay.
I was born there, and then I was also raised there. Grew up in Pretoria half of my life, then went to Cape Town for school. And then since coming back from school, I've been in Mpumalanga, where I pastored in Secunda, Standerton, Emilio, Fall Crest, and then had to come back to Johannesburg. By residence, I'm in Benoni, around Benoni, Brakpan area.
Yeah.
That's where I'm staying currently now.
Oh, nice, nice. For people who might not know Mamelodi, how was it growing up in Mamelodi?
It was fine. It was fine. Maybe it's because I grew up in introvert. There was not so much. Not too much of a public person, going out a lot.
Yeah,
I was more of an indoor person, so it was I found it more peaceful, but also it was a happening township, you know, with the vibe, the Pretoria lingo, so that's where I grew up. Yeah, Budese, so that's where I come from. That's the background that I come from.
Yes, that's lovely. And what are some of the challenges that, of course, young people at the time, would you say, you faced as well?
Some of the big challenges, hey, was to adjusting. Remember, we grew up at a time where Model C's was coming up. English was a big thing. People were moving from townships to suburbs.
That
people had to adjust, that type of adjustment. You know, we grew up around where now people were moving from Kwaito to hip hop. Some of them had to put their, you know, baggy pants, their pants underneath the trousers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I tried doing it once, but my father beat me and I beat me thoroughly so that I would never do that again.
Yes.
And I'm happy that he showed me the way that you don't put your trousers underneath your bum.
Yeah. I was about to ask you.
Sorry.
No, I was saying that I was about to ask you if you did try it as well.
No, I only tried it once. After trying it once, I was like, okay, I got the reprimand.
Yeah.
I've got to be a good child and listen.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's how it works.
Oh, nice, nice. Was drugs maybe a problem?
Now, for me personally, it was not.
Yeah.
It was not for me personally because I grew up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
With good Christian values.
Mm.
You know, we had that experience and in school, you know, where people would start smoking.
Mm.
You know, we had friends like, hey, dude, they're busy day in the train station toilets,
mm.
you know, when they were experimenting.
Mm.
But for me, it was not a heavy thing because mm. of the heavily Christian influence,
mm.
you know. That influence really, really, really worked out for me, you know.
Mm.
You know, that Christian background saying we are not sleeping over in people's houses,
mm.
you know. I was never allowed to do sleepovers, you know. You could
sure.
go out, but before 11 or 12 o'clock, you must be back home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those things really, at an older age, in hindsight, would see that
mm.
they really worked out to our favor, you know. Now, it has never now become an issue to me because
mm.
it was church, it was home, and it was just a few friends only in my life.
Mm. Oh, lovely, lovely. And then how would you say that has had an impact or influenced you, that sort of background, into, I suppose, the person that you are today?
Yeah, man, it has really, mm. really positively impacted, hey? Now that you see it, you know, when you see some of the friends,
mm.
you know, the lifestyle, you are able to be solid. You are able to be grounded
mm.
based on how you were raised, you
mm.
know. You're not that person that quickly gets into things, you know.
Mm.
You just wait and see. It's like, where's the wind blowing?
Mm.
If it's blowing there, should I go, should I not? You
mm.
know, you just don't go with the wind.
Mm.
You do a thorough assessment before going wherever it goes, you know.
Mm.
So it built me, you know. That's why, you know, from high school immediately, I just said, you know what, I'm going to do theology, I'm not going to do anything,
mm.
you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely, lovely. For those of you joining us, of course, we are having our shapeshifter today, which is Pastor Apane. He's leading the stewardship department for the Transfer Regional Conference. If you do have any question, you're more than welcome to send them to us on 0734703520. That is +2773 4703520. Do you ever go back to Mamelodi Mfundisi? And when you go back, what's your feeling?
I go back weekly, sometimes monthly.
Okay.
Since the petrol prices are too high, man,
yeah.
I don't know, I go home a lot in Pretoria.
Yeah.
But whenever, because it's just close by, so
mm.
It's not that thing that you've got to plan it. I can
yeah.
wake up in the morning and say I'm going to be going to my mother's house, I'm going to
mm.
be eating, I'm going to be eating my mother's porridge.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how it works. So
yeah.
that's what I chose. So I can go anytime.
Mm. And yeah. what's your feeling when you look at the environment? Has it changed? Still the same? Challenge is still the same as well?
It has changed. It has grown bigger.
Okay.
It has grown bigger. You now understand the spatial planning.
Mm.
Smaller roads,
mm.
many cars. Now mushrooming informal settlements.
Mm.
You know, you are able to see that they're having an impact.
Mm.
You know, we're having load shedding. They've been having it continuously because of the mushrooming townships
mm.
close by. You know, the water shedding is a big
mm.
challenge because the informal settlement are breaking the
mm.
infrastructure. So, yeah, that's the biggest challenge that they're currently facing there. Okay?
Yeah, I think the part about the spatial planning as well. I mean, I've been there a lot, and when there's congestion in every road.
Yes.
So
yes.
the spatial planning there was just, I suppose, not done correctly. And of course, like you're saying, with the mushrooming of townships and everyone else flooding into Mamelodi, you start seeing, okay, spatial planning here is a bit of a problem.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now let's talk about a ministry, which is what our shapeshift conversation is about. Did you always want to be in ministry? I think you did touch a little bit on it. If you can expound a little bit there.
Yeah, man. Hey, it is. Let me tell you.
Mm.
You know, one thing that gets me worried, or makes me angry.
Mm.
You know, when you read on social media, people will be saying, "Hey, pastors were failing amadoda score. That's why they ended up choosing they ended up choosing theology, because they just take amadoda score, you know. For me, Tapelo, I went to in high school, I was one of the good students in commerce, accounting, business economics, maths. Passed so well that University of Pretoria accepted me. TUT also accepted me for accounting. But in the back of my mind, I said to myself, nope, that is not for me. My heart wished to do it, but I said to myself, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going straight to theology. You know, I say to myself, if I miss this opportunity, I might miss it forever. So I just said to myself, what I'm going to do for myself, I'm straight going to, immediately after high school, I'm going to go do theology. If I've got to come back and do my business economics or any other commercial subjects, I will do it. And I will do it for the benefit of the church.
I mean, let's touch on that one. I know you and I have touched on it a little bit there. Maybe you can also just touch on it, the business side.
It has always been a wish and a desire, you know, to study. After my basic theology degree, BTH, with Heidelberg College. From there, I've done my master's in international development, you know, but with the desire to understand management system, economic systems, and financial systems, you know, and why should we be able to have a good grasp and understanding of it? It's because they have an impact on how the church runs, you know, because the church also runs on management principles. True. So I just told myself that I will do my MBA. Currently, I'm busy doing it. I'll be writing exams in a week's time. You know, and I'm it means sleepless nights. We are having those sleepless nights. We're not sleeping. We are busy. We are busy studying. You know, so I'm just busy now. Currently doing my MBA, and it has been an eye opener. You know, you understand. It's like, oh, this is what happens in the economy. This is what happens in finance, and this is how it impacts the organization. This is what organizations need to do to be resilient.
So that's beautiful, Murut. And I think it brings in a, like you said, a bit of a perspective that pastoring is not just because you got my daughter's score, you know. It was a choice that you made. And of course, now looking into how you can use your MBA to balance in and contribute towards the church running efficiently. And I think that's what we need. And that's something that I find very beautifully. Now, I want to ask you this personal question. What are some of the challenges you've faced so far in the ministry?
In the ministry, hey, it has been remember I entered ministry at a very young age. So it meant adapting faster, maturing faster. You know, now in hindsight you see what it means to have a broader view, you know, to understand the views of young people. You know, when you sit on a church board, when you sit in a business meeting, you need to be able to embrace a broader view. How does it impact young people? How does this decision impact older people? How does it impact the well-being of the church, you know? So that has been a good balance, you know. Also, working like this thing of moving around, being transferred from rural to rural churches, to semi-urban areas to urban areas. It allows you to get a grasp of who people are and what people are. Because ministry is not centered on you as a pastor. But ministry is about the people that you serve. You know? Today you're serving somebody who's in one rural, in a rural area with no network, with no lights, with nothing. You know, just the one room in the dark. You need to serve those people. But then you need to come back to Johannesburg, a big urban area. You need to then all of a sudden give your support to somebody who's worth a lot of money, you know, a CEO of a company. But then you need to learn that people are people. All people deserve the service of a pastor, you know. So I've been able to embrace that. I've been able to understand it. And that has allowed me to become a person that I am, to be able to love people, you know, to be able to understand. You know, some people have got issues, you know, multicultural misunderstandings, you know, where the South Africans, mixture of Zimbabweans, mixture of Zambians, they don't understand each other. So there's this culture clash. So as a pastor, you meaningfully understand, oh, you know, people from this type of culture understand worship this way. People from this culture understand worship this way, you know. So those have been the benefits of being a pastor. Now this is it's going to be my 13th year, you know, of ministry.
Yeah.
So it's over a decade now. I'm going to move into my second decade of pastoring, and which I wish we could grow and be able to survive in this ministry for longer.
That's beautiful. And I think your story actually inspires, and I suppose a lot of young people who are also perhaps interested in getting into ministry. What would be your advice to them?
When you go to ministry, you know, it's beyond the pulpit. You know, it's beyond just preaching. It's beyond the Sabbath worship. It's what can I do for my church? You know, as we grow older, I learned that we need to do more beyond the Sabbath worship. How can I make my church more participate in social issues? You know, how can we make our churches be relevant in the communities? You know, be a pastor that is able to impact not only our Adventist constituency, be able to impact the broader community, you know, be able to establish a feeding scheme that touches everybody, you know, be a pastor that is able to participate in community meetings, you know, in community forums, so that the church gains its influence. The church gains its recognition, not because it's just a church, but it's a church that is geared for service, to serve the poor, to serve the marginalized. You know, how do we use our churches, for example, to make them centers of hope? That is my desire as a pastor, to have a church where we know that on a Monday we run a feeding scheme.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday, we run a public clinic in collaboration with government. On a Wednesday, we do feeding scheme. In the afternoons, we've got after school classes for our students who are struggling in math and all other things, you know. So those are the important areas of the work that we need to really be cognizant of. And I wish the pastors, you know, who are coming to the church, who are studying, to be able to immerse themselves in community work, to immerse themselves in the people that they pastor, you know, to love them, you know, to love them, to care for them. And also at the end of the day, one of the biggest issues is we need one area of the church to have a pulpit that is burning. You know, when we say it's burning, it should have a message. Every Sabbath when you stand there, give hope, give courage, give the ability for someone who's came to church with their problems to remind them that their burdens have been lifted up at Calvary.
Beautiful, beautiful. If you're joining us for the first time, of course, it is A Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Our shapeshifter for today, it is Upastor Apane, the Stewardship Director, of course, for the Trans Orange Conference. You're more than welcome to talk to us on 0734703520. That's our WhatsApp number. There's a question here, Muruti, from Umthokozi Sisibanda, and he is asking, when we talk stewardship department in the church, most people think tithe and offering. What other roles does the department have to play in the local church, and how can these additional roles be made known to church members? That's the question.
The stewardship department, remember, God has given us gifts, resources, and abilities. You know, time, talent, and abilities, you know, and skills, you know. What we need to be able then to utilize them is that the church has overemphasized one area of tithes and influence. Remember on the baptismal certificate, when we get baptized, it says we will support the church with our effort and our influence. You know, we need to be able to tap into those areas. You know, to make people understand their roles as an individual. They've got influence, they've got efforts, you know, they've got resources that God has gifted them, you know. There are people who have done wonderful work, you know, beyond giving of tithes and offering. They've given their talents, they've given their ability, you know. They've given themselves. The Bible would tell us that they gave themselves first to the Lord, to the Macedonian church, and then they gave the rest to us, you know. So It is not about tithes. It is not about offering.
Mm.
It is broader. It's about giving ourselves fully to God, giving ourselves fully to the gospel. You know, tithes and offering is one area and aspect of the mission of God. But God has given us the responsibility to lead a life that is able to have impact, you know, to use our resources, you know, to use our talents, to use our skills. There are people who are gifted enough to create change in the church. And they're using that ability to do that. And wherever people give beyond tithe, they have a thriving church. You wonder why a church is able to be built in 1 month. Why is a church is able to be built in a shorter space of time? When you go and assess what's happening then, you would assess that it is, they've learned that stewardship is beyond only giving of tithes and offering. People have given themselves. You know, they wake up on a Sunday morning with nobody saying, hey, the church board saying we need to go clean the church. They say to themselves, I will go clean. I will go paint. I will go buy this. I will go do this. They are dedicated and have given themselves fully to the Lord. And it begins there, you know, so that we're able to give our talents. There are people who are lawyers who are able to come to church, give their technical skills to the church. There are those who are accountants, who are specialists in their area, and are able to do that. And once we learn to stewardship to be meaningfully around that, that it's not about tithes. Tithes is just one aspect. But giving ourselves totally and completely, the Bible says that. I think it's the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 to 9, that they gave themselves fully. You know, when it's the word fully, it means completely and totally. Every area of their life was dedicated to God. And it means that even our houses, even the resources, our private resources, are able to be used as an instrument for God's service.
That's beautiful. We have about 6 minutes now left with you, Muruti. I don't know, this might be a bit of a challenge, but are you able to then summarize for us what the department has achieved over the last term and what the next term is going to look like? I'm sure there's a bit of transition there.
Yes. The first term that we entered,
we're
beginning a digital migration. You know, we're migrating from treasury software, using what you call this, your hardcore, you know, treasury reporting.
Yes.
But we are migrating to digital systems that the church has voted.
Okay.
So we have been able to enroll our members there, but the only disadvantage has been that our churches, because of COVID, were really hit hard. We're not able to afford to buy the resources that are required. Your technological, your data services, you know, and your laptops, for them to be able to upload members on the system, so that when the treasurer does a report, it gives you live reporting. After the treasurer has concluded his or her report on a Sabbath evening or Sabbath afternoon, a report for that week is able to be sent to the local pastor, is able to be sent to the local elder, so that the elder has got coverage to see what activities are happening, how many people gave, where did they give, you know. That report is able also to be distributed around church members and the church board. So we have been able to outroll that system, the ACMS system, to about 90 churches. But in the new term, we've given ourselves a target that by next year, June, the whole of Gauteng, which is a bigger economy, and all these urban areas in Polokwane, Nelspruit, Bloemfontein, Rustenburg, all the churches in those areas, we should have captured them and placed them on the ACMS system. Because the importance of it, it breeds accountability, it breeds transparency. You know, the treasurer can just say, okay, Mdala, log in. The elder is able to see what's happening, you know. The pastor is able to do. That's the one aspect, you know, continuous migrating our members to digital systems. The second part, we are going to be concentrating more our wish and desire on entrepreneurship and professional development, you know. We really concentrate on that. It's always been about tithes and offerings. But we want to encourage a workforce in the church, a workforce that is honest, a workforce that has got integrity, that has got a culture of ethical behavior, you know, to impact the corporate world that they're working in, the business that they're working in, for them to be of good use to society, for them to take the ability, you know, for them to be a Joseph of today's world, you know, to bring change, you know, for them to be a Daniel. So those are the areas. And the last one is to improve our stewardship education.
Okay.
You know, we have been concentrating on financial stewardship. It's an important aspect.
Yeah.
But we need to now concentrate on the holistic stewardship experience.
Yeah.
So that people do not only say, oh, stewardship, it's about only tithes. No, it's about giving. The main aim of stewardship, giving ourselves totally and completely to God. And the last area, Tabelo, it is to also train and empower our leaders, you know, to work in line with the church. You know, there's a Bible verse that I read. When you read the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I think 2nd or 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, where Paul is talking to the to the Corinthian church, you know, speaking about the gifts of generosity that they've been receiving. He says all the gifts that he has received, he is taking pains to ensure that he does what is right with God and what he, and does what is right with men, you know?
Yeah.
So in other words, we want our churches to be a place where transparency, accountability is a thing that is embraced by everybody, you know, so that when a member is given 2 rands, that 2 rands is taken into account. So that is our aim. And lastly, we are also working on the theme, I will go to impact mission. Whatever funds we receive, let us use it to impact the mission of God.
Yeah.
The SID and the SAU are looking to mission into the cities, to the cities. Bloemfontein, Polokwane, Rustenburg, Nelspruit, Pretoria, Johannesburg, Vaal, all of these urban areas, the SIU wants to reach them. And for us to reach them, we need to be able to create enough resources for God's work to be carried out. So that's where our work is going to take place.
Indeed. As we close, Muruti, as you know, it's a money and business show. Although we'd have loved to explore quite a lot of questions with you around this one, but I'll ask this one as a parting shot. How would you characterize your relationship with money?
It's a developing relationship. It's a positive, negative relationship.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is good. What it allows us to do, it is that it allows us the money that God has given us.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm learning the idea of saving.
Yeah.
You know, I told myself targets last year was to learn how to save money, you know, and this year I've been learned how to do it positively.
Yeah.
And then the next year I'm telling myself now it's no longer about saving. We need to now start investing for the short term and also investing for the long term. So it's a positive negative because sometimes things get tough.
Yeah.
You get tempted to say, hey, I don't have money.
Yeah.
Can I just maybe use a credit card?
Yeah.
Can I just use this? But you learn at the end to say, listen, let's just close your eyes, allow month end to come. All of these problems will go away. So we are able to do that.
Indeed. Murut, thank you so much. I think we'll explore the others once we get another opportunity with you. But may God continue to bless you and your ministry and the work that you're doing, of course.
Amen.
Thank you so much. That was Umuruti.
God bless the listeners and God bless everybody and have a beautiful evening.
Thank Same you so to you, Umuruti. Thank you so much. That was Umuruti Apane. Of course, he is leading the stewardship department at the Trans Orange Conference.